Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Family, relationships, self-care. It's time for life advice from licensed professional counselor Jenny Curry on WICC 600.
All right, Jenny, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yes, always a pleasure to have you. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've tackled boundaries with your friends, your coworkers, and family members. This morning, we want to talk about adult children living at home with you. We live in a time where a lot of these kids, after college, they move back in to save money. So as parents, how do we set boundaries? What do we do?
Yeah, it's really tough, you know, and this piggybacks off of the topic that we had last week when we talked about, you know, the sandwich generation who's taking care of aging parents. And then, like we're saying today, some still have adult children living at home and even some raising grandchildren. But, you know, I think we live in kind of just a really interesting time. And I think part of why adult children are still at home, lots of reasons, but, you know, from a financial perspective, college debt has just loomed, right? And so they move back because they either don't have a job or they're trying to save money or, you know, whatever. But regardless, right, that puts the parent in kind of an interesting situation. And I think with, you know, the boundaries, it's really helpful right off the bat for even an adult child to know what's expected.
And I have to imagine, Jenny, only because my husband and I, for maybe a three-month period, we moved back in with my parents when we had our son because I was out of a job and we didn't have anywhere to live. It was down the road. We found it to be very difficult when you not only live on your own in college and you kind of set your own ways, you make your own decisions, to move back in with your parents, that's a very hard line. You know, from our perspective, it was very difficult to feel like, okay, well, now we have to answer to somebody at 28 years old. But from my parents' perspective, they're like, listen, we're not making you pay rent. We're not making you pay for the water, the food, anything, you know, and we would offer, but they didn't want it. And that wasn't really the point. But I guess from a parent's perspective, so like from my parents' perspective, Tony's perspective, you know, when you have adult children move back in and their argument is, well, we've been living on our own. We made our own rules. Like, we don't have to listen to you. I mean, I think it's kind of fair for the parents to go, well, then find somewhere else to live, because quite frankly, we're paying your bills right now and try and help you get ahead. Yeah. So you kind of have to go back to square one of doing chores or helping out around the house or something, right? I mean, I don't know. I think that's kind of fair.
No, I agree. I think so. And I think, you know, one, it's just, I think there should be a basic level of respect, right, that the adult child, you know, for lack of a better term, should have for the parents. But I think you're absolutely right. If they're providing for you financially, a place to live, all of that, then, you know, what you trade is, yes, that they're going to speak into your life a little bit. And I think that that's only right.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, Jenny, is how do you, I guess, how do you go back to sort of being a parent? Because I find that once your kids go to college, you kind of become friends. You know, you're not really parenting them anymore. They have their own jobs. They're making their own way. So how do you kind of go back to that line of, well, I'm still your mom or dad. And, you know, yeah, we're friends, but we're not friends. You know what I'm saying? How do you balance that?
Yeah. It's interesting. Right. And I find that, you know, even too, it could come off a little bit differently if it's an adult child who has never left the home, right? Then there's that issue may not be so hard. But yes, when they have been away and they're coming back, it's challenging. But I think it's really important for the parents and the kid to just talk about what are the expectations. And I think having some kind of financial expectation, you know, if the parent is open to that, is really helpful, you know, if it's rent or groceries or, you know, whatever, and also help around the house. But I think the idea that, yeah, they're still your kid, but also talking as an adult and what the expectations were, almost like they were kind of a tenant, you know?
But do you think the parent is doing the child, the adult child, any favors at all when you just allow them to just stay? Are you doing them any favors? Will they ever be able to stand on their own two feet?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the situation, right? I mean, I think, Melissa, in your situation where it was a temporary thing for a few months and, you know, you're new parents, you didn't have a job, it was kind of a transitional thing. I think that's one thing. But when it is perpetual and the kid has really no intention of moving out or finding a steady source of income, and the parents just let them stay, and there is no rent, there is no responsibility. I think they, yeah, Tony, they definitely, it's detrimental.
Okay. All right, Jen, we have run out of time. If people want more information, what can they do?
They can call 203-293-8554 or check me out on jennycurrycounseling.org.
All right. Sounds good. Jenny, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Thank you.
If it affects your neighborhood, they have all the info you need. Tony and Melissa in the morning. WICC 600.
Well, he's known as the Shirley Temple King on social media. And now a big time talk show took notice. 6-year-old Leo Kelly. He's from Fairfield. He posts videos to Instagram rating Shirley Temple drinks all across Connecticut. And his videos went viral, and local news outlets, they took notice weeks ago. And Kelly was featured on the Ellen DeGeneres Show yesterday. A very, very bright kid, incredibly smart, and also very, very cute as well.
A 6-year-old Shirley Temple critic whose Instagram is the Shirley Temple King from Fairfield, Connecticut. Please welcome Leo, the Shirley Temple King. Thank you for being on. I'm so happy to meet you. This is the first time I've ever met a Shirley Temple expert.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there are any others out there, but clearly you're the king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're 6 years old. And yep. When did this start? When did you start drinking Shirley Temples?
Basically ever since I could talk.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ask for one by name, or they gave it to you and you just enjoyed it right away?
They just gave it to me and I started enjoying it.
Right. Do you drink any other beverages, or is it just Shirley Temple's?
Well, 99% I drink water, but, like, Shirley Temple's is just a special drink.
It's a special treat.
Yeah.
Because water's really good for you.
Yeah.
Well, you could be the water king as well if you drink 99% water. Yeah. Think about it. That's another Instagram. Why do you love them so much?
Well, like, after you drink them, you're like, that's good. And then, like, you get the spark, and then you're like, Like, you get the, then you get the cherry flavor, and then you get the grenadine, then you get the ginger ale.
Oh. So. All the notes, all the effort. Yeah. And do you rate all of them every time you have a, first of all, for people who don't know what a Shirley Temple is, what's in a Shirley Temple?
So, I would prefer 3 or 4 ice cubes, a glass cup, because plastic is bad for the environment, and...
Very, very cute. Very cute kid. And apparently he is the Shirley Temple king.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And I just love it that Ellen, she does this quite often. She will put the spotlight on these kids like that. And it's just hysterical. It really, really is. Good stuff.
Yeah. And I follow his Instagram page. And he's so funny, Tony, because he will rate, Shirley Temples all across Connecticut, which are really neat. But he won't rate anything a 10.
No.
So nothing is a 10. Nothing is good enough to be a perfect 10. The highest he'll go is a 9.5. And I believe the most recent 9.5 he gave out was to like a place, a barbecue place in Ridgefield or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just very funny. And how, if you watch his videos, he's so genuine about it.
Yes.
You know, like, this is not a joke to him. This is his job. And I love that about him, that he is just so honest about it. And listen, this is the best recommendation he can give to you when it comes to Shirley Temples. And I just find him to be so precious. I adore him. I've already messaged out and I said, all right, I know you're a big deal. I know Hollywood's already discovered you. But if you could find it in your heart to be on little local WICC 600, we'd love to have him as a community inspiration. I think he's adorable.
Yeah,
I love him.
Very, very cool. And Ellen, I don't know how Ellen does it, but she's able to bring out the best in those kids when she does those little things that she does. That's great stuff. Really, really is.
Yeah.
And he's from Fairfield. That's wonderful.
I love that. I'm trying to think. I feel like that's the second kid from Fairfield to now be featured on Ellen in the last year, because I'm pretty positive he was from Fairfield. There was another kid who knows all the states and all the capitals. I don't know if you saw that episode.
I didn't see it. Yeah,
like a year ago, Ellen challenged him, and he's known as like the state and capital whiz. And he also knows like every country. He's adorable. He too has like that little high pitched voice. And but he too is brilliant. You could show him an outline of like different countries that I've never even heard of in my adult life. And he knows the names of them and the capitals and everything. He too is brilliant. And I'm pretty sure he's from Fairfield. He was just on Ellen like a year ago.
All right. Good stuff. So the Shirley Temple King, we salute you this morning.
A look back at the most significant event today in history. Well, according to Tony and Melissa, WICC 600.
All right, a couple of things. 1752, the first hospital in America opened in Philadelphia, thanks to Benjamin Franklin, who raised most of the money to build it.
Wow.
Yeah. 62 years ago, 1958, Ruth Carroll Taylor took her first flight as a stewardess, becoming the very first African-American flight attendant. Believe that? 1958.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Also, the big story, though, 8 years ago, 2012, Whitney Houston passed away in her hotel bathtub the night before the Grammys. Now, the coroner's report ruled that her death was an accidental drowning, but also listed cocaine use and heart failure as contributing factors. She was 48 years old. Marijuana and Xanax were also in her system, but they say that that did not contribute to her death. Nonetheless, one of the great voices of all time was silenced that night. Now, a couple of things here this morning. Do you realize with the death of Whitney Houston, the biggest artists of the 80s, Prince, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, they all passed away. The only one that's standing is Madonna of the 1980s. They had the biggest hits. They were the biggest stars. Now, while we were playing that, we were also watching a little video of The Bodyguard, which she made a few years back with Kevin Costner. And I think that they should remake The Bodyguard. Bradley Cooper in the Kevin Costner part. And you got to get somebody like Beyonce, somebody that can sing, somebody who's hot, somebody who can act. I think she'd be perfect.
I mean, if you're going to do a remake, yeah. No, I definitely think that would be a great film to remake. But I don't know if you can... I don't know who touches Whitney Houston, to be completely honest. She, you know what was sad about The Bodyguard is, so as soon as she passed away, Tony, I'm sure you remember, they played The Bodyguard 1,500 times
sure.
on every channel for weeks. And Kevin Costner finally, you know, when he spoke at her funeral and then did like an exclusive interview, I remember watching it, and he said that he had to like go to her door and convince her to be in The Bodyguard. I mean, Whitney Houston, it made me so sad to know that she was the kind of person that actually had absolutely no self-confidence, did not find herself to be beautiful, did not think she was very talented. And it was Kevin Costner who actually said, I'm not doing this film unless you do it with me. Like, you have to play this role. You have to be in it.
He was the one that said the theme song is going to be I Will Always Love You. And she was like, oh, what? It's a country song. I don't do that kind of music. He says, we'll fix it so it's tailored for you.
Right.
And that became the biggest hit of her career.
I know. It's so true.
It just goes to show you, you know, people don't see what's right there in front of their face, but other people can see it. And he certainly... saw that. But we knew for years something was up with this girl. She was struggling, and you knew it. There was a point there where Michael Jackson, he was at Madison Square Garden, and he was like celebrating his 50th year in show business. I don't know if you remember that, but Marlon Brando came out, and he made a speech, and everybody was performing. She came out to sing. She was as thin as a rail. She was probably 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And they showed a picture of her on the front page of the Daily News. And you were like, oh, my God, this is scary. What's wrong with this girl?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, she always denied it, said, you know, no, everything's cool. Everything's cool. The funny thing about it is everybody thinks that it was Bobby Brown, who I'm not a big fan of. I'm not a big fan of Bobby Brown. But everybody thinks it was Bobby Brown that took her down, and it really wasn't that way
this
at all.
This stemmed way before Bobby Brown was in the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, when
she
started off with singing, she was, like I said, she was just had no confidence. She really did not like herself as a person. And it's just, it's amazing. You know, Whitney Houston to me is one of those people that it's incredible what people see in the mirror versus what people see in public. Because from the public eye, Whitney Houston, I'm sorry, Whitney Houston to me is the greatest female voice of all time. I've heard many other female voices that are incredible that stand out today in the past. Whitney had a voice that just went on for days, and she could hold a note, I think, longer and better and higher and stronger than anyone, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that she never heard that, and when she looked in a mirror, she didn't see pretty. I mean, she was stunning. She's one of those stories that it's so true. It doesn't matter what the entire world, millions of people could love you, but if you don't love yourself, it's going to be your biggest demise.